Welcome to Women Worth Knowing, the radio program and podcast hosted by Cheryl Broderson and Robin Jones Gunn.
We are so excited to come back to you, our listeners, with the second part of Annie Barber's ministry and her testimony. What is so exciting, you know, Robin and I were just realizing how many times Annie, who we've never really, I met her once, was not memorable for her, was for me. But anyway, how many ways and how many times she has actually, unbeknownst to her,
yes,
ministered to our souls and to our spirits and incredibly hard, difficult seasons, and even in uplifting seasons. I mean, I remember popping in those 8-tracks and the cassette tapes and just, you know, hearing the praise music and just being so inspired. And, you know, music has an ability to do that. So, Annie, I want you just for a second, will you just kind of enlighten us to what you have found about the power of music?
And before you do, Annie, I want to just give a summary in case someone's just tuning in to this part two, is that Annie began with a record contract at 16 years old and growing up in the church and really loved wanting to write her own songs. And she ended up being involved really as a pioneer woman, as we heard your story. Go back and listen to episode one because it's really interesting how it unfolded. One dream fell apart, but then God had something else. And there you are with this praise and worship team through Maranatha Music. And that's where so many people around the world have listened to those tapes, not knowing you were one of the backup singers. You were one of the people who was involved in producing.
And writing.
And yes. And those songs opened up an avenue where the churches were used to, as we were saying, Annie, you and I grew up in churches where it was the hymns, and we would...
I grew up with hymns,
yes,
too.
Yes, Cheryl, too.
Sunday morning was only hymns.
Right. And then here, what has changed and where we are now, and to just kind of look back and say, without knowing it, you were at the
pivotal
beginning, the beginning of that and contributing to that. And we, Cheryl and I, just wanted to say thank you.
Exactly. You know,
well,
my dad
knew,
just,
and it was a fun, very purposeful season of life.
Hmm. Yeah. You know, my dad used to think How Great Thou Art was a chorus. He never considered it a hymn. And so choruses were only allowed to be sung on Monday nights, Wednesday nights, and Sunday nights. But other than that, it was the hymns every single Sunday. And he did it a cappella himself, you know, three hymns.
Yep.
And then, you know, that was what I was used to. But again, what a heritage, even through the hymns. And I'm sure they served as an inspiration for a lot of the songs you wrote. So you're still, though, you wrote, are you still with the Tommy Coombs Band? I know Tommy just turned, 79?
We are going strong.
I love that. That's
amazing.
We just had this, well, it's October of 2025. This is our 36th anniversary as a band.
That's beautiful.
That is so cool.
We just got back the last 2 weeks. We were in Connecticut working. We were over in Brussels. Mm. We were in Florida. Got home a few days ago, all with the Tommy Coombs Band.
Wow. Now, are you still doing some of those songs that you did way back when?
Occasionally, but mostly we're drawing from the more popular worship songs that people that are really ministering to people right now, and using those to fulfill our responsibilities when we're out.
Okay, I want to go back to, because both Rob and I testify to the power of some of those songs in our life.
Yes.
And I know I have these prayer partners that we Zoom pray every Wednesday. It's just our Zoom prayer time. And we will, during the week, randomly send each other a, you know, video of a song that really met us where we were at. One person just got through a lawsuit. Another person of my prayer partners got through ovarian cancer. Another friend of mine, just her parents are ailing. They're in their 90s and her mother broke her hip. And so she was ministering there. And so we will send each other just kind of this song ministered to me. I'm sure it's going to minister to you. Music has that power. And I want to hear a little bit about your experience with that power, that of how the Lord uses music and these songs.
Well, to me, it's not particularly complicated, but if you haven't thought about it before, we've got these two sides of our brain. Music supplies both sides. Mm. And so it goes in and finds a place to root in a way that it can if it's only one side or the other side of our brain. So when you put, as a Christ follower, when you then take the truth that you find in Scripture, and whether you're just writing a song that's Scripture itself, or taking the essence of what's there and developing a lyric, you know that when a person receives that in song form, it's going to go in and anchor in a way that it cannot if it's just a lyric, that it cannot if it's just a melody. Mm. And so, you know, music obviously has been part of civilizations from the beginning, and we understand. I mean, music is happening in heaven, and not just music, but music and singing. So music and lyric, it's happening right now in the heavenlies, and we have our, I'm sure, far inferior version of that, but nonetheless, very impactful version of that here that we share with one another.
I think it's almost a foretaste of, mm-hmm. of what's Absolutely. Going on. It's got this ability to kind of translate you into heaven. You know, my sister one time said her husband went to be with Jesus, and she said when she worshiped, she felt unified with him, that mm-hmm. heaven was part of that at the same time. You know, he's enthroned in the praises of his people.
Yes.
And so she said she would feel that comfort, like, Greg, are we both singing the same song right now?
You know, and I was just thinking as you were talking, Annie, how there's that where it tells us in Ecclesiastes that he has put eternity in the hearts of mankind. Oh. And what you're just saying now is that this is the way that it connects in our brains and in our heart, that we are told to treasure God's word in our heart and to hide his word in our heart. And it goes in through music in a different way, and the lyrics. So just think of all the other lyrics that are out there that go in and plant seeds in a human heart. And yet this is sort of the deep calls to deep, where the echo is, here's eternity already planted in your heart. Here are the truths from God's words in the lyric and the music that your brain is overlapping on, and it embeds itself. Because as Cheryl and I were saying, we remember these really difficult times, and listening to the praise and worship music that was coming out of Maranatha Music that you were involved with, and what a balm. That's all mm-hmm. I can think is mm-hmm. it was just mm-hmm. a solace to our spirits during very difficult times. So important. What you're doing is more Huge. Than ministering, it's healing.
It is.
The healing work.
It is. Well, you think about, too, when Moses wanted the people to remember, they put it in song, and how many of...
Yes, yes.
You know, as I read my Bible, it will say, you know, when Paul talks about the incarnation in Philippians, it says this was no doubt a song of the early church, and how much is in song. We have a friend named John Dixon who actually discovered one of the first songs of the early church and just made a documentary on it. And he had given it to Chris Tomlin. And they wrote, they took that music and they wrote this, one of these early hymns. It's so exciting. But again, like you said, the music has always been with us. Now, during the break, you were giving a shout out to your son, Evan. I want to know, how early in your marriage did he come into the picture? And you said he's one of your favorite human beings. Now, that's something really remarkable to say about your children. I think I could say that, but.
Evan came along a day after our fifth anniversary.
Oh, precious.
So he's 32 now. And he's just an extraordinary person.
Is he a musician?
He is a very, very fine, guitarist. He's had some health issues right now. So at the moment he's not, he's just needing focus on his health. But he's resilient. He's beautiful. Really smart, funny, funny guy. So, and right now he lives at home. So he's on the other side of that wall right there.
What a privilege.
So
what
your
privilege.
Husband's background in music, your background in music, and now you have a son who plays guitarists in the family for sure.
Yeah, it's fun.
So now I want to know, because, you know, I know you're still doing the Tommy Coombs Band, but I also read that you wrote two books. And I want to know a little bit about what the inspiration behind those books was. And, you know, we want to make those books available to our listeners that they could, you know, go to the show notes, see those books, and maybe, you know, purchase them from probably Amazon. Yep. So tell me a little bit.
I blog. I've been doing that for a lot of years for a very small, loyal number of pals out there. I started doing that writing mainly because, not so different from songwriting, as the Lord is teaching me things, if I can articulate it in writing, I feel like I have, at least at that time in my life, I actually understand what it is the Lord is trying to teach me. So that's the best tool that I have to be able to give language to something that I'm learning. And so I started blogging, not to gather a following, but just because it held me accountable for the things that I wrote. It just helped me to be a little more disciplined. And somewhere along the line, I had a writer friend show some of my work to an agent. And I got a call from this gentleman saying, you know, he'd like to be my literary agent. He owns a company called WordServe Literary. Mm. His name's Greg Johnson. Great guy. And I said, well, I'm middle-aged and tired and looking for margin in my life. I do love to write. I do have books in my craw that I feel need to come out. And he asked me to write a particular book at first. I ended up writing that third and wrote first an Advent devotional to add to the thousands of Advent devotionals that are already out
there. They're the best. And, you know, if you live long enough, you need them all.
That's right.
I will just say right here, I feel so important about this. This is important. And people are listening who resonated when you said, oh, I have all these ideas for books. I've always said, okay, what if John, who was the last one to write his
Revelation
gospel,
yes,
if he had said, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they already did it. There's millions of them. You know, I don't need to be one more voice. Where would we be without John 3:16? It's like each individual that you need to write what God has put on your heart, because you will deliver God's truth in a way that as it comes through your heart, it will be different than how anyone else said it, and it will resonate with people that didn't resonate with Matthew, Mark, and Luke.
Yeah, you know? That's right.
So,
look, God's in charge of all
that. Beautiful
that
you did that.
If there's some longing in your heart and you're living a life that's submitted to Him from day to day, then you can count on the fact that those longings, if they remain, are probably from Him.
Yes, yes.
And we don't need to spend any bandwidth trying to figure out what it's for. That's the Lord's business. But we do need to be faithful to act on those things that stir within us, especially those things that remain.
And personally, I know that you also wrote like an Easter one, and I can't wait to get those personally because I love Advent calendars. I love them. I remember Sarah Hornsby's years ago Advent calendar. You're reading it each day. And then I've written some for the women's Bible study when I used to be head of the women's ministry here, because I wanted the women to really capture the wonder of the season of Jesus, you know, and to, because we can be so distracted. And I remember reading, I think it's Max Licato wrote one on Easter, and I was like, I need this. I need to be centered on Easter. And I wanted to do the same thing with Easter. yes. that I had done with Christmas. And so I really appreciate that. So thank you for that. And so for our listeners, again, we'll put it on the show notes because, you know, Christmas is soon and this is these make great gifts to kind of center other people's thoughts on, okay, you know, get your eyes off. You know, I don't have enough money or I don't know what they want or the pressure's on, but just to center on the Lord. So that's fantastic. Okay, what was the third one you wrote?
The third one I wrote is the one that my agent asked me to write in the first place, and that's a book called The Fourth Chair, Uncovering Your Call. What's the name of my book?
Just, oh, good. I'm glad that I'm not the only one.
Called The Fourth Chair, and there's a little subtitle which is escaping me at the moment.
And okay, so what's the gist of that?
61-year-old brain.
Yes, yes. Wait, well, you're young compared to us.
That book is about a metaphor which sort of got dropped into my consciousness when I was out hiking one day, which is not uncommon. Four chairs closely facing one another, and the implication for me in that moment was that three of those chairs are for the Trinity and one chair is for me.
Ooh,
that's good.
And what are the implications of that?
Wow. Mm.
And so I blogged about that for probably a year and a half.
Wow.
Just developing, asking with the Lord with that picture and all of that, but it ended up then being a book. And it's really is a book that's devotional in style, like the two straight up devotionals are. And it isn't anything more than going, when I approach the Lord, am I not in fact approaching the whole of who he is?
Mm.
He's three persons who share an essence. If I'm approaching the whole of who he is, does that change the way I approach him?
Mm.
Does it mean something different when I approach him now in the fullness of who he is, as opposed to maybe back in the day when I wasn't even thinking those kinds of thoughts? And who was I drawing near when I was coming to the Lord in prayer? So it changed my life. And I wanted to share those changes in book form. So
I
loved writing that book.
I love that.
So glad you did.
Yeah. And I think, too, sometimes that when you read something, it articulates the your own heart. Sometimes you're like, that's how you say it. That's
exactly
how you say what, you know, I know, I think it's Peter Gregg. He was, when Pacific Palisades burned, I wanted to pray, but I felt like my prayers were so anemic. Mm-hmm. And I was like, Lord, I really want to pray. I want to enter into this and I don't know how. And then I listened on Instagram. He's doing this prayer for the people in Pacific Palisades. And I thought, that's it. That's everything I want to pray. He's praying what I need to pray, what I want to pray. So I just kept listening to that every morning.
Mm-hmm.
I would pray that, and I would pray along with him because it so covered every base, and it was so beautiful. And I feel like a book will often do that, or even a blog, it will articulate. And the resonance with our heart, it's the same as when you hear a song, that resonance that says, you know, me too. Me
yes.
too, in the most divine way. I love that. All right. So what is an average day for Annie Barber right now? You just said you got back from Brussels and you were in Connecticut. So what is life like for Annie Barber today at 61? And again, you're a youngin' to Robin and I just want to say that.
All right. Well, big sisses.
Yes.
I love it.
Yes. We like that.
Life is very full. We travel not near as much as we used to, probably on average once a month.
That's a lot.
International travel still. When I'm home, I have my son who is temporarily disabled. I have my 89-year-old precious mama that lives with us. I'm her full-time caregiver. My husband, John, is the worship pastor at our little church who we are completely in love with. And I also help there. We provide the music for them each week.
Awesome.
And are also both on staff. So there are a lot of duties that come with those responsibilities. And so, yeah, trying to take care of this carcass that's aging and be a homemaker and in my yard. So life is very, very full.
You know, they call our generation the sandwich generation because we're taking care of our children still, like you said, with your son. Many of us have grandchildren we're taking care of, as well as our aging adult parents. I know Robin's, you know, watching her mom, and then she goes down south to babysit. So there is that crunch. And, you know, especially having that in your house, too, is huge. So you've got a lot of ministry going on right now. But you're also, I read that you speak at conferences, you do retreats. And what do you have, like, your favorite subjects to talk about when you do those retreats?
Well, during COVID, we did a lot of teaching about peace.
Yes.
That
perfect
commodity
topic
that was so
that
scarce then. These days, I'm writing and thinking if I was going to teach a conference today or teach, you know, stand up and teach today, it would probably center around what is the contribution you're meant to make as a Christ one. Mm-hmm. With all the unrest that's happening in our society, and are you ready to make that contribution? Do you know what lane you're in?
Wow.
On the whole, you know, on the whole pool of humanity, do you know how to stay in your lane? Do you know what your sphere of influence is, and are you influencing there?
And you know what, Annie, you're doing that with your life. I mean, your whole life with the music, and it's part writing, part singing, part ministering in your church, part of the worship team, you know, you and your husband providing that. Like, that's, I think, and we're making little comments here about, okay, older sisters and that, but really, it's a call for those of us who have been on this journey a long time, that the older women are to teach the younger generation. Mm-hmm. And it's not a lot of hopping around, well, I'll try this, I'll try that. What has God gifted and called you to do? Then sink your life into that and be that part of the body and be about that work. And for you to be having that as a theme, now, Lord, open a door for her to go and share that, because this is where we want to see that next generation really be able to use the gifts that God's given them in a culture that is now so divisive for them to think they haven't really figured it out. They're not good enough. I should try this instead. It's like, just know who you are in Christ, and
yes,
and I love it. Stay in your lane, like, just let's go.
Yes.
Okay. I want one final.
The Lord has not made the call. In other words, we get, you know, we're handed 24 hours at a time, right? And He's inviting us to invest fully into the day that we have. That's the one day we know we have. And if it's the last day, how do I spend it? If it's the first day, what will be my response to it? But the Lord, the call isn't complex. And He's called us to Himself. He's called us to His Word. He's called us to look around and go, hey, where am I? Who's here? Well, the Lord's here. What does that mean? And where has He put me in this moment in time? And how can I make a contribution here? Well, what contribution would I make? Well, regardless of my gifts, I'm here to bring hope and light and to bring encouragement and to hopefully feed people with the fruit of the Spirit that is on the branches of my life. Because
reach it.
Everybody's hungry.
It's so good. It's so good. I think there might be another book right there.
Absolutely. You know what? We're out of time, but I just want to thank you again, Annie, for being on Women Worth Knowing. And I think your testimony is so incredible. But it's not just what you've said and what you've done for Jesus, but it's also that testimony of staying passionate for Jesus. Mm. You know, that it began as a child and it hasn't ended, and you're still passionate for Jesus. You're still wanting to serve him, not just serving him, but wanting to serve him and wanting to influence others with the goodness of the Lord. So I want to thank you again on behalf of Robin and myself. Thank you again for being willing to come on and share.
My pleasure. Thanks, you guys, very much.
Thank you for listening to Women Worth Knowing with Cheryl Broderson and Robin Jones Gunn. For more information on Cheryl, visit CherylBroderson.com or follow her on Instagram or Facebook. For more information on Robin, visit RobinGunn.com or follow her on Instagram or Facebook. Join us each week for a lively conversation as we explore the lives of well-known and not-so-well-known historical and contemporary Christian women. We hope you've enjoyed today's episode. Make sure you rate us on your podcast app, subscribe, and share it with a friend. Thank you again for listening to Women Worth Knowing with Cheryl Broderson and Robin Jones Gunn.